Councillor questions, and there is a time limit of 15 minutes. Any questions that have not been asked within the time, we will subject to a written response. I now call upon, obviously James is not here, so Georgia to ask your question to Warsha, which will be answered by Graham.
Thank you very much. And just first of all, James gives his apology for having to have left early. I said it was a nonsense, but that's typical of James, always worried about other people before himself. I thank the Mayor for allowing me to ask his questions on his behalf. The first one, can you explain why you are paying above market rates for a divisional director who is agency staff, and can you tell me what per temps charge for employing the individual concerned? And to complete this inquiry, how much per temps are charged by the secondary company?
Yeah, thanks for asking the question on behalf of James. I hope he gets better well soon. But hopefully he'd actually, on some of these questions, he could have...
Is it for Varsha Palmer, the question?
I'd respond because the per temps contract comes within the directorate that I'm involved with. On some of these, it's James could have sort of written to the officers and got the answers directly, but we are where we are. But to answer the question, we do not believe that the council overpays staff who are employed on an agency basis. And the council has a contract with per temps who were appointed in 2011 for a competitive tendering exercise, and that's linked with Hammersmith and Fulham contract. That they're responsible for filtering among agencies and workers in order to deliver value for money for the council. This includes negotiation of rates with any sub-agencies where this is required. The council has recently consolidated its agency relationships so that third-party agencies subcontract through per temps, who then negotiate rates on the council's behalf. The council is able to compare rates between agencies by looking at the prices paid on the framework agreements that exist, for example, the MSTAR framework. Based on the reviews that have been done for the council, it is satisfied that the per temps contract is delivering rates that are value for money.
Georgia, do you have a supplementary for James?
There's no supplementary, I'm afraid.
All right. The second question from James to Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Children Act 1989, which was revised in 2004 and 2006, states that education and social care services for children be brought together under a specific corporate director in each local authority. With the wide-scale closure of the children's centres being identified in the first round of cuts, how will this council meet its obligations for a duty of care to safeguard the many vulnerable children who may now be at risk should such a draconian destruction of the children's centres leading to the closure of preschools be allowed to come to fruition?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to state at the outset that early intervention, including children's centres, forms an essential and very highly valued part of the services provided within my portfolio, and how committed this administration is to continuing the care for the most vulnerable in our community. And that's why we're looking to rationalise the delivery of this service to achieve our budget targets while continuing to reach and offer services to as many families across Harrow as possible, particularly those vulnerable families in our most deprived areas. There are three options for the children's centres that are currently being considered, and the consultation on these started just 2 days ago. The core purpose of the children's centres, which is to improve outcomes for young children and their families, while contributing to us fulfilling our wider duty to improve the well-being of young children in Harrow, and to reduce inequalities, including children's physical and mental health, protection from harm, protection from neglect. All these have been considered as our main focus in the planning of these options and will continue to be the focus during the evaluation of the consultation responses and the decision-making process. Performance intelligence data that we've used has particularly focused on the 30% most deprived families and others in need of support, and this has been used to support the analysis and the development of each of the three models whilst offering up a savings. All three of the options retain preschool places, and two of the options being considered sustain preschool places for 2 and 3 year olds and 4 year olds, and offer an opportunity both for an increase in these places and other private community and voluntary sector initiatives. All options retain at least 50% of the current delivery sites, with a third option keeping 10 of our children's centres open. The plan will continue to be focused on those in greatest need, and safeguarding vulnerable children will be an ongoing priority for children's centres, early intervention teams and our targeted services, all working closely together with our partners in the health service and in our schools. This will enable us to maintain our statutory compliance with the Sure Start Children's Centres statutory guidance issued in April 2013 when carrying out our duties relating to children's centres under the Child Care Act of 2006.
Is there a supplementary?
No, thank you.
We'll move on to your question now to David.
In 2014, Hall's Farm and the O'Hara family have won a number of prestigious national awards for their purebred, free-range Aberdeen Angus cattle, which has made them top in class for the whole of the United Kingdom. On the 13th of June this year, one of the bulls in Pinner Park Farm attained first prize in the national Aberdeen Angus competition. Another on the farm attained the third prize in the same show. On the 18th of September this year, another bull on Pinner Park Farm won the cup for the breed championship at the Oxfordshire County and Thame Show. So you can imagine my absolute disbelief when I read the document titled Summary Note 14 of July 2014 Pinner Park Farm and saw that the second of the four issues bullet-pointed in the introduction of the document as being poor husbandry of the farm. Would the leader of the council work with me in order to have the numerous inaccuracies removed from the summary document and other documents pertaining to Pinner Park Farm in order that councillors and members of the public can have an accurate account of the history and workings of the farm?
David. Thank you for your question, Councillor Weston. I know this is an issue very close to your heart, and you've cited one inaccuracy, but if you would like to bring numerous accuracies, which I presume you're referring to my attention from various documents, then I'm happy to look into them and on behalf of yourself and your resident.
Supplementary?
Well, I'd very much like to thank you initially for that. And my supplementary is, and thank you very much, and I do have lots of evidence to show you, so I'm glad about that. Recently, Councillor Bond and I were dealing with a rather contentious issue regarding the North Harrow CPZ scheme, and during our work we had called to request to see handwritten responses on the consultation forms. The department in question were cooperative and facilitated our research by pulling the folders for us and showing them to us during a meeting at their convenience. However, when we approached the Estates Department for the very same data on a consultation they had carried out regarding Pinner Park Farm, we were not shown the same cooperation, and to date, our request to view the data has been denied to us. The question is, does the leader of the council agree that when a councillor makes a request of an officer for information that they judge will assist them to properly represent their constituents, that the officer concerned should not withhold the requested information or in any other way deliberately obstruct their pursuit of that information?
David?
I think in response to that, I think you're right, councillors do have special privileges and opportunities to see documents of confidential nature. I'm not specific, I don't know the particular information you've requested, but if you want to take this public question to me privately and like me and my offices to look into that, we're happy to do so.
Thank you. The next question again is from James to Keith.
I think I'm going to need some throat lozenges in a minute. Okay. This question to Keith Ferry. How much will it cost council taxpayers annually to provide for the upkeep and routine maintenance of a country park on land at Pinner Park Farm, and when will these figures relating to this expenditure be made available for all to see and scrutinise?
Thank you, Georgia. The Council, having considered the responses to our first public consultation, are in the process with our consultants, Bidwells, in working up a single proposal for Pinner Park Farm, a master plan based on the initial proposals. As part of this work, the Council will be considering the cost of the management of a country park to assess the viability of the proposal to ensure that its implementation is at no cost to the Council or the Council taxpayers. This information will be formed part of the next consultation on the master plan.
Well, what springs to mind really is, because obviously you've talked to lots of residents who've been to this consultation, that that information would have been helpful to them before having to be choosing between one or another option. And that question was posed during meetings, I've been told, and that question was never answered. So my supplementary question is, don't you feel that that piece of information should have been given to people as part of the consultation in order for them to make a value judgment as to what choice they would make?
As you saw in the public consultation, there were several options, and there has been some criticism that we hadn't costed those options. The reason we hadn't costed them was that they were options, and we weren't going to cost every single option until we got the public's... There was five options, and we weren't going to cost every one of those until we had got the initial public consultation exercise results. We will now proceed, having got those results, and incidentally, those results will be on the website next week because we've just had the report from Bidwells. We will now work out a master plan based on preferred option, and we will then publish those exact figures and show that our proposals for Pinner Park Farm will cost nothing to the taxpayer, and we hope, in actual fact, it will put some money in the coffers as well.
Thank you. Question from Susan to Warsha.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is to Councillor Palmer. Could you clarify why the dog waste bins in many of Harrow's parks have been closed, with park users directed to put their dog waste into the general litter bins?
Thank you, Councillor Hall. As you know, the council is facing £75 million of...
It's not.
We continue to review how we run all our services. And just to clarify, since 2008, there has been a reclassification by government to commingled dog waste with general litter. So there is no need for us to provide either bespoke dog waste bins or a contractor to deal specifically with this waste stream.
We've reached 10:28.
Can I ask for an extension of the guillotine, please?
Do members wish to extend the meeting?
This side opposes it.
Absolutely. There are important issues to discuss, Mr. Mayor, not least their own motions.
All those in favour in extension? 25. All those against? 33.